Praise God. Welcome to Alliance of Honorable Men. I trust that all is going well for you. I'm so excited about today's class. We're in chapter 6, the purpose of covenant. Last week, we began to talk about what happens when people are not in covenant with God and not in covenant with each other. We began to talk about what would happen. Some of the things of we'll become corrupt eternally and decline in our spiritual state. Our blessings, provisions, and protections are cut off. Others around us are plunged into destruction. And the church becomes the victim of a collapsing society. And one statement that always sticks out to me is that when the church is not in covenant with God, or with each other, the world system begins to flush into the church. So therefore the church have to keep coming up with or copying the world's or mimicking the world's behavior in order to attract people thinking we're doing things for God. So that's what happens when a church is not, or people are not in covenant with God or each other. The latter part of the sixth chapter begins to talk about what happens when we are in covenant with God and in covenant with each other. The process of the transformation of cities. See, that's what we're all about. We're all about representing God and giving God a conduit in which His Spirit can rest upon the face of the earth. Without human cooperation, now God set this up, without human cooperation, it would be impossible for God to get His will done in the earth. He has to have human cooperation. He has to have humans that are in covenant with Him and each other. So we continue in Isaiah 59. In chapter 59, the first part of the chapter gives the process of decline. The latter part begins to give us the process of when cities are transformed. Now, the first thing happens when people come into covenant with God and with each other. God intervenes for the righteous. Now, when I say a people come into covenant with God, it never begins with a group of people. It always begins with individuals. Now, I'm going to get to that in a minute. When God intervenes for those who are righteous and take a stand in righteousness and truth, when He does that, it empowers us to do what He's called us to do. Look in verse 15, Isaiah 59, chapter 15. He said, yeah, truth faileth, and he that departed from evil maketh himself a prey. Watch this. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased Him that there was no judgment. There was no righteousness. There was no righteousness. But so God has to intervene first. When God intervenes, the first thing He does is find a man. Look at verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness has sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. Does that look familiar? That scripture look familiar? The arm of God. The breastplate of righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Praise God. So God intervenes. The first thing He does is look for man. Now, we see this happening with God repetitively. All the stories or historical stories in the Bible, a God is God finding a man or a woman, in the case of Ruth, in the case of Mary, finding a man or woman that is willing to stand for righteousness. Look at Abraham. Abraham, God separated him. He is the father of Israel. He's the one that God used, Genesis 12 and 3. I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you until all the families of the earth be blessed. That's Genesis 12 and 3. You look at Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Samuel, Saul, David, Solomon, all the prophets, Jeremiah, the prophet Isaiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, and Elisha. God always looked for a man. When God can find a man, then God can come into full manifestation. God can endue him or her with power. When God finds a man, the next thing God looks for is people to surround that man or woman. See, first of all, watch how this works. God first looks for a man or a woman to come into covenant with him. Once that man or woman comes into covenant with him, you see in Genesis, the 15th chapter, turn there. Genesis, the 15th chapter. Genesis, the 15th chapter. Praise God. Glory to God. These next chapters that we cover in this class, and especially when we come back after the semester, we hit the ground running. These next few classes are going to change your life. I've been reading this book for about 10 years. I read it every year, of course, because I got to teach out of it. But every time I read this book, it changes my life because it gives me a more in-depth understanding of the importance of covenant. Why is it important that I be a tree planted by the rivers of water? A tree that's planted. A tree that's planted. That's covenant connotations. Genesis, the 15th chapter. I'm going to do a little bit of reading, but I want you to see what happens when a man decides to come in a covenant with God. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, first one, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" Now, this is important. Because remember what I said, the first thing God looks for a man or a woman to come into covenant with him. Once a man come into covenant with God, the next thing God begins to look for is men and women that are willing to connect to that person that God has chosen so that a covenant can be formed between human beings. See, this is why the chapter 5 talks about synergy, communication, and purpose. See, so that a man come to covenant with God, once a man come to covenant with God, God begins to look for people to connect to this man so that we can have covenant with each other so that synergy can take place under a common purpose so that a power can be released. Glory to God. He said, this dude of my house, this is this Eliezer. Now, what's the significance of Abraham asking for a son? The significance is a son simply means an offspring, somebody that comes from my DNA, somebody that comes from the same thinking process, from the same agenda. Eliezer was hired, but Abraham wanted a son. Why he wanted a son? So he can train him in understanding the agenda of God. That's where we get the concept from of spiritual fathering. Spiritual fathering comes from a concept of somebody who God has called and connected to somebody he's already called so that synergy can take place, so that a purpose can be displayed so that power can be released. Now watch what he says. And Abraham said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." That word "born in my house" is very important. "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, But he that shall come from out of thy own bowel shall be thine heir. And he brought forth him, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Look at verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord thy God that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, and to give thee the land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a pigeon, a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece against one another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowl came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, God, know of a surety that our seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards will they come out of great substance. I do a lot of reading because I'm trying to get to a certain point. Verse 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a what? Covenant with Abram, saying, until thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt until the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, and the Kadamites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So here we see God is going through the process of cutting covenant with Abraham. He found a man, and God told him, you could be the father of many nations. So now God is now in the process of building his kingdom so that people can get involved with his agenda. Only when you are involved with God's agenda are you protected from the world system. See, there is no neutral place here. Either you're in the kingdom of God and you're about his agenda, or you're about the kingdom of the world system and their agenda. We know who's God of the world system. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, meaning the god of this system. But God owns the earth. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell in it. So when you're a part of God's agenda, you should have no worries about the world system. Watch this. God separates the enemy for judgment. When he finds a man, he can now separate, watch this, good from evil. In other words, those that are for him, those that are against him. Look at this verse, and then the nations will bow before the sovereign hand of God. Look at verse 19 of Isaiah 59. Go back there. Isaiah 59 and verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, we read that scripture, but we take that scripture out of context. That scripture cannot take effect until we come in the covenant with God and be about his agenda. God is not just going to protect us for the sake of our protecting. As a matter of fact, it's automatic. When we are for the agenda of God, we come in a covenant with God, and come in a covenant with God, man and woman of God, who he's assigned for that area. When we come into covenant, who he's assigned us to be connected to, when we become connected to them, God automatically lifts up a standard. Automatically. So no matter what we face, God lifts up a standard and gives us deliverance. God begins to raise a distinctive generation. He lifts up a standard and begins to show that there is a difference between those that are for his agenda and those that are either neutral or against his agenda. So now you'll see why there are some Christians who seem like they're struggling, because they only want to they only see God from a self-centric point of view. Do you remember that word? Self-centric. They only see God from a self-centric point of view, not from his point of view. See, it's automatic. When you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, that means you're going after God and his agenda. There is automatic protection, automatic covering, automatic provisions that comes with that. So I don't have to be concerned about those things. That's why the Bible says, seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God. He raised up a distinct generation of those that are for his agenda, coming into covenant with him and coming into covenant with those that he've assigned the assignment to, given a great assignment to. He separated. There are certain men and women in our society that have been separated by God. And when you find out they've been separated by God, it's up to us to have the spiritual fortitude to discern and hear the voice of God and say, connect to that person. It happens throughout the whole Bible. You see it happen throughout the Bible. It talks about David. When those guys recognized the grace that was on David's life, the Bible says they surrounded him in 1 Samuel 22. There was in debt, distress, and discontentment. And they say they gathered themselves around him because they saw something on David. And it wasn't just David. They saw something on David that they knew was God. They knew God was ordaining it. They knew God has an agenda. They knew David had access to the agenda of God that the rest of them did not have. And when they connected to David, they then too got access to the agenda of God. They too began to hear God for themselves. Glory to God. So he raises up a distinct generation. Look at verse 20, 21. Verse 20, 21. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, said the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, said the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee and my words which I have put upon thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, said the Lord, from henceforth and forever. We see this happening over and over again in the Bible. I gave you an example of God looks for a man first. You see this happening with Moses. One of the, I think it's Numbers, the 11th chapter. Moses' father-in-law say, Moses, these people are going to kill you. You can't solve all their problems. You're going to need to get you some help. Get some wisdom from God. God told Moses to come meet him in the tabernacle. He said, now Moses, oh, this is powerful. Hear this. He told Moses, you choose 70 men. God didn't choose them. He said, you choose. So what qualities did you think Moses was looking for? He told Moses, you choose. He said, then call them to the tabernacle. When you call them to the tabernacle, listen to this. God said, I'm going to take the spirit that is upon you, Moses, and put it on them. Oh my God. The first question that popped in my mind when I read that passage of scripture is, God, why did you not put your spirit on them? You was there. Why you didn't put your spirit on them? Because God is a God of covenant and divine order. Covenant breathes divine order. God said, Moses, I've chosen you. I'm going to take the spirit that I gave you off of you and put it on them. So the same spirit that was on Moses, God put it on the 70, so that the 70 can do exactly what Moses was doing. So here you see an example of what the power of covenant. The power of covenant allows multiplication of God's ability. Oh, hear that again. Covenant allows the multiplication of God's abilities. So now instead of Moses judging by himself, he now had 70 other men that was able to judge with him. Oh, catch this now. I want you to bring this in today's society. The only way a city is going to be transformed is when God can take the spirit off of your leader and put it on you, so that there is a multiplication of God's abilities. This is what Jesus meant when he said, greater work shall you do. Greater than these. We supposed to be doing greater works than him. Does it mean the quantity? No, it means numerically. We ought to be doing more than what Jesus was doing. Why? Because there is a multiplication of God's ability. God's ability is multiplied in you. God's ability is multiplied in me. God's ability is multiplied in your sisters and brothers in Christ. Only for those that are properly connected to his agenda. Oh my God, this is good. Only those that are connected properly to his agenda. Not connect. Watch this. It's not about the person. It's what the person is carrying. Listen, we got to get this straight. If somebody is carrying the agenda of God, they just carrying the agenda of God. And you must humble yourself and connect to that person so that you too can carry the agenda of God. Glory to God. Once God raised up a distinctive group of people, God can then execute his will. I just said it. There is a multiplication of God's ability when we come into covenant with each other and come into covenant with his agenda. Listen, I had to underline this because I wanted to read this statement specifically out of the book, because the author did an excellent job. The coming transformation of cities will be a direct result of a covenant people partnering with the sovereign God who is intervening in the affairs of nations to execute his purpose and extend his kingdom. Watch this, what it says, who God is intervening in the nations, not us trying to make it do what we want to do. But when we come into covenant with each other and with him, God then begins to release his power to intervene in the nations. That's how cities are transformed. We come together in covenant. We come together for one agenda. It's not about what you want. It's not about what I want. Apostle Thompson says all the time, it's not about what I want. It's not about what you want. It's about what God wants. It's about what he, God, wants. I hope this is sinking in. See, you thought you were going to that particular local apostolic house, which is the church, that local apostolic house, just to get your needs met. No, 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 no. You are going to that apostolic house so a multiplication can take place. You can become multiplied in power, multiplied in wisdom, multiplied in divine strategies, multiplied in power. Glory to God. Become multiplied by doing one simple thing, by saying, God, I'm becoming in a covenant with your man and woman of God, and then at the same time, coming in covenant with you and your agenda. Glory. See this now. See this. See, we must understand that God first looks for a man, then he, once he looks for a man, he begins to look for people to surround that man or woman of God. This is why Abraham asked for a son to be born in his house. If you notice, listen now, glory to God. If you notice, Abraham had to attempt to sacrifice his son because God asked him. This is key now. This is key. See, what you must understand about the Bible is just not a collection of stories. First of all, it's a collection of stories about Jesus. And even more so, it's a collection of stories about you. Let me show you yourself in the story of Abraham. So now, here, let me show you. I'm going to show you Jesus, then I'm going to show you you. All right, so now, Abraham looking for a son. A son. Then God asked him to sacrifice the son. Why did God ask him to sacrifice the son? Remember, God can't do nothing in the earth realm until he have human cooperation. So we see the law of reciprocity. Reciprocal. What one does for Galatians 6 and 7, God is not mocked. For whatever man what sow it, that shall he also reap. So God had to get somebody to be willing to sow their son first in the earth so that he can sow his, you see that? So he can sow his son in the earth. Abraham willing to sacrifice Isaac was a prototype and foreshadowing of God sacrificing Jesus. Now, let me show you. Jesus get here to the earth. And Jesus' whole life is dedicated to fulfilling God's agenda. If you notice, Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I only say what the Father tells me to say. Jesus said you must love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbor like, and the second is like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus come here displaying, watch this, he's the firstborn of many brethren. Here come Jesus displaying, I'm going to show you in the story of Abraham now. Here come Jesus now born. He get to the Garden of Gethsemane. Listen, he get to the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, listen, God, if you can do this another way, I'm open for suggestions. But he said this one word, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Let me show you you. Have you ever told God, not my will be done, but thy will be done? Other words, God, however you have planned it, however you have thought about it in Jeremiah 29:11, however you thought it out, I want to suppress or, so watch this, suppress or get rid of my will, and I want to fully become emerged, submerged, surrounded, overcome by your will. So you see, Abraham had to sacrifice his son against his will. Isaac had to give himself up against his will. See, this is about sacrifices of wills. So what I'm, they are going, listen to me. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Just because God connected you to somebody who he's already called doesn't mean that it's going to be an overnight thing where you just fall in line. Because the reason why, let me tell you a little secret. The reason why God connected you to that person is because there's some things on the inside of you that God wants to deal with that only that person can deal with. Now that person might not know they're going to deal with it, but every time God gives your leader instructions and you disagree with them, you got to go back to God and say, God, fix my heart. That's a sign of maturity. God, fix my heart. What is it I'm missing about this? That's when you come into covenant with God and God begins to reveal his agenda, because now you're coming after his agenda. It's not you looking to God for what he can do for you, but now you're looking to God about what God, what I can do for you. And you put yourself in a cycle of Galatians 6 and 7. Let me read this statement to you. God is sovereignly moving to raise an honorable company of men established. When I say men, I'm talking about women too. Of men establishing accurate connection and covenant so that all his blessings can flow through them into the earth. Let me read that again. God is sovereignly. That word sovereignly is important. Sovereignly means God is going to do what he's going to do. Either he's going to do it with us or without us. Listen, God, we forget. God does not have eternity. God is eternity. God doesn't have eternity. God is eternity. So God can be patient and wait until he find a man, a group, those that are willing to come to his terms. He is eternity. He is eternity. So it's not about we're gonna miss you may miss your opportunity. I'm not gonna include myself. I'm not gonna miss my opportunity. I'm yielding. I'm giving up my will. I want to be totally submerged in what God wants with me, with my life, so I can be connected to a group of people that will cause God's power to be released in earth realm. Let me read this again. God is sovereignly moving to raise an honorable company of men, establish an accurate connection and covenant so that all his blessings can flow through them into the earth. See, remember I said earlier, God can't do nothing in earth realm without human cooperation. Listen, there is always a new beginning with those who are in covenant with God. There's always a new beginning. I don't care where you're at in life. I don't care what you faced in life. I don't care what mistakes you've made in the past. When you decide to come into covenant with God. Now, once again, how do I come into covenant with God? I come into covenant with God when I allow God. Listen, this is key. When I allow God to connect me to somebody who he has already called so that synergy can take place, energies come together, abilities come together, so that under one purpose, so that power can be released, so that multiplication can take place. I'm so excited about this chapter 6. Listen, chapter 7 is going to be even more powerful. We head there. Next time we meet, it's going to be chapter 7, the definition of covenant. And whoa, we're going to probably spend about 2 or 3 classes on that, because that particular chapter is going to revolutionize your life. So until then, I bless you, and I look forward to seeing you in the next class.